Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. This week, we're taking another look back at some of our favorite stories from this year. We want to shine a spotlight on some positive people, places, and things as 2024 winds down. One of our favorite places this year was the LA County Library and all the remarkable new stuff they offer, and it's free. Come on and check it out with us. You don't even need a library card for this tour.
Our Board of County Supervisors have really put their best foot forward and made sure that they provide money for us to renovate our libraries. West Covina is our second most recent library. Beautiful library, huge. It's a two-story library, $12 million worth of renovations to bring it up to speed. Some of it is like the things that you can see, the most beautiful things, the color, the furniture, that sort of thing. But also we have to deal with, as an example, the HVAC system or the electrical, things to modernize and be able to support all of the technology that libraries currently
have. And when you think about renovating these libraries, of which I'm sure there's some more down the road, right?
That's right.
What goes into your thinking about modernizing a library?
Right, well, we have to think about how libraries are currently used, not what how they were used, but how they are used. So when you think about sort of libraries of modernity, you think about library space that's flexible, as an example, high ceiling, high light, things that can move around and transition the space from a speaker series, as an example, or story time, or even study rooms, and how those rooms can be utilized. Can they be utilized by one or two people, or can you have several people holding a conference or just supporting discourse? So you have to think about that. You also have to think about how you shelve, how you use your what we call stacks. Can they move? Can they collapse on themselves? Can you open the space for community engagement?
And you also have earthquake issues to be concerned about.
We always have earthquake issues to be concerned. So,
I have to ask you, I mean, you know, you touched on community. You have programs in library programs, yeah, for community,
that's
for
right,
children,
that's
for,
right,
for grown-ups. Talk about that for a second.
Well, we had a wonderful program recently this summer called One Book, One County. And so we invited 18 of our other library systems here in the county of Los Angeles, because we are a library county. We have many of us. We invited them to participate in our first ever One Book, One County, where we brought everyone that we, all of our systems together to really promote the love of reading. Remember that?
Yeah.
So it was like an idea that we had post-pandemic, how to like re-engage our communities. And so with this idea, we had all kinds of programs. We had food producing programs. People made food to kind of like supplement the actual reading of the book or the material. They had painting classes, you know, those like sort of sip and paint, except without the sipping. We had that kind of thing to re-engage our adult community. And then at the end of that, we had over 15,000 checkouts for,
wow,
that book. And then we brought the author in to do a culminating event downtown in Gloria Molina Grand Park.
Right.
That's just one program. We've also been intimately involved with book banning and the Books on Ban movement. We're one of maybe eight libraries around the country that have opened up our e-content for teens all across the state of California, for us, some of them across the country, to ensure that they have access to the information that they deem important.
So where you have books that have been banned.
That's right.
I'm thinking back to when I was a kid, I think Lady Chatterley's Lover or something might have been one of those old books.
That might have been one of them,
right,
but
right,
even more recently, Harry Potter, as an example, or books that have LGBTQ presenting characters or writers or storylines are also typically on the banned book list.
So you unban them.
Essentially, that's what we do. We provide access to those books.
You know, I'm sort of wondering, for people who haven't been back to the library, who haven't come to visit, they're hearing a little bit about the things that you offer now that you didn't offer maybe when they were kids or they were in school. Well, what's the biggest selling point for, mm-hmm, coming back to a library?
Well, the library is the center of your community. So what we do is we attempt to engage our community members, I call them our neighbors, to make sure we understand the kinds of resources that are important to them. We do that several ways. We do that through our community visioning sessions. We do that every 3 years. We bring all of our communities together. They tell us what they want. And then we take that information, that feedback, and we create programs to support those requests or needs. You know, I think another thing that for parents, one of our more interesting programs that we just launched this year is our in-person tutoring program. So everyone who has kids know that the kids are still suffering post-pandemic. They are still not at a place where they are succeeding in school. So we have always historically supported education, but this year we took it a step further. And that step further is bringing in credentialed tutors all summer long for grades 1 through 6 to help support them and get them up to speed for school that just started last week.
It's so important, especially in that period where kids were locked down, they tried to learn remotely. They get back into school, trying to re-engage with the classroom
that's
and a
right.
teacher.
That's right.
So that's a very important program.
That's right.
We're in the children's part of the library right now here in East LA.
That's right.
You know, you spend a lot of time with children in reading sessions, reading things like these books for mm-hmm. children. Talk to me about that for just a second.
Sure. I mean, you know, literacy for our youth, our very young kids, we have an incredible program called Smart Start, as an example, mm-hmm. where we really focus in on getting them accustomed to reading. And honestly, the rhyming books are perfect for that. We get them accustomed to reading, understanding to hold the book, to like start to really develop a relationship
with the
words
book.
And mm-hmm. well, in the book and with words. And then once they've done that, they graduate to this area of the library.
What is the mobile fleet MACMO?
The MAKEMO.
MAKEMO.
Yes, the MAKEMO, which is our maker mobile. So
okay.
that's really our STEAM and STEM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. So you get to learn all of those. It's like a production vehicle. It goes to all these different community events. It comes to libraries. It has its own generator. It had 3D printers, all the Legos and robotics. They have all of those things on this van.
Kind of like a bookmobile.
Yeah.
There are some things people may not even realize that you do. Tool lending.
Tool
Gun
lending.
Locks.
Yes.
Tell me about those.
Yeah, so tool lending is one of our newer programs, and it's a program we actually just increased it to 6 locations around the county where you can go in and get anything from hammers to baking utensils, a Cricut. Do you know what a Cricut is?
Tell me.
Right. A Cricut is something that you can produce clothing with. Who knew? I didn't know. You can get power washers. And then more recently, we've added 2 more items. We've added gun locks
right.
that you don't have to return. Obviously, everything else you have to return. And then, of course, we have our Narcan as part of our tool lending library.
Which we talked about earlier.
That's right.
And so you also make tap cards available for Metro.
That's right.
People can get their tap cards
just
while they're here
the
reading a book,
desk,
right?
That's right.
And then also you have these park passes.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me about that, because I think actually that's something I could be interested in.
It's a really popular program, so you'll have to put your bid in soon because they're gone all summer. And so you take the park pass, you go there.
It hangs on your mirror.
That's right. And then you have access to any California park, any state park. It's really a wonderful program. I'm still on hold for that.
Are you really?
So yes, because
and you're in charge.
They're highly. I don't skip the line.
Good for you. The library card is free and opens up a whole world of opportunity. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, it's all about giving back this season. Coming up, we share some stories of human goodwill that will uplift and inspire you. And we'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. Next up on our look back at our shows over the last year is an inspirational effort to get volunteers hooked up with the places they're needed. This effort called Together in Service hopes to accomplish an astonishing 25 million hours of service by the year 2029. A group of organizations have banded together to fulfill an idealistic purpose. Just as Dr. King's birthday has become a national day of volunteer service, the goal of Together in Service Los Angeles is to encourage volunteerism. And the initiative is bringing groups together to foster that effort. Their goal is 25 million hours of volunteer service by 2029. That is a crazy number of hours. I'm having a hard time getting my head wrapped around that. But joining us right now to help me with that is Victor Dominguez. He's the president and CEO of the YMCA of Metropolitan Los Angeles. Good to see you, Victor. Thanks for joining us. And tell us a little bit about this effort.
We are excited to launch Together in Service here in Los Angeles. It is inspired by the eight other community-based organizations that have joined me and us as a coalition of organizations to be of service to others. We are also in partnership with Realize the Dream, which is a Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Organization that is being supported by his son and the family in ensuring the fact that the spirit of volunteerism is seen every single day throughout the United States. But for us here in Los Angeles, we are planning every single month to have events, activities, so that all Angelenos could be of service to others.
You know, this has been a long-standing thing to do on Martin Luther King Day. And to volunteer your time to the community and to give of yourself. And so this is really taking that fundamental effort and sort of magnifying it, right?
It is. It's, you know, when we look at some of our community's most pressing needs and we really look to leaders to step up and to really look at how we address that, I see that it is the not-for-profit organizations that are truly the heart of community, and nonprofit organizations have the opportunity to transform communities through their networks, through their clients, through their participants in promoting volunteerism.
One of the things that I've learned a little bit about here in the last few days is that volunteerism is on a steep decline. And it's been that way for quite some time. And I'm wondering, and we'll get to some numbers later, but I'm wondering if your organization has experienced that decline of volunteerism.
We've seen the decline of volunteerism pre-pandemic. During the pandemic, stats have come out that volunteerism has been decreased. But I will tell you this, the power of individuals here in the local community of giving of themselves during the pandemic helped the YMCA of Metropolitan Los Angeles to stay open. Our 27 YMCAs felt its most impactful years, whether that be food delivery, whether that be vaccination, whether that be tutoring assistance. The spirit of volunteerism is truly here. It is now the responsibility of community-based organizations and of our leaders to promote and to provide people the opportunity to give of themselves.
It's a little rudimentary mathematics you and I did before the show. It looks like 1844 was the year the YMCA started nationally, 180 years old. Here in LA, we're, what, 142 years old. How much of that time has been consumed by volunteer work and volunteer effort?
Well, we look good for 142 years though, here at the YMCA. Not bad at all.
Okay, what are you drinking? What's in your water?
Oh, it's really good water here in Los Angeles that have allowed today the Los Angeles Y to be the oldest and largest youth and family serving not-for-profit
organization.
But volunteerism, you know, we were founded on volunteerism. So volunteerism is part of our DNA. We as the Los Angeles Y 142 years ago, and we look to the next 142 years, it will be built on the spirit of volunteerism today.
And so with your organization, what do these volunteers do?
Absolutely. Today we have 11,000 volunteers that are part of the Los Angeles Y.
Right.
They participate in programs, services, activities, whether that be tutoring, whether that be home food delivery, whether that be through our civic engagement work. But every single day, there are volunteers at our 28 local YMCAs.
A lot of folks doing a lot of good work, but, you know, how will basically this Together in Service benefit Los Angeles and Los Angeles County?
You know, as a collection of organizations that are part of Together in Service, we have this aspirational goal of 25 million hours.
That's a lot of hours. You know, it's like, how do you get your head around 25 million hours?
Yeah, the way we do is we're starting with eight organizations. We'll be able to scale up with many community-based organizations to come on board.
When does the clock start?
The clock started January 1 of this year.
How many hours are collected so far?
So far this year, we are collecting that data. We're creating the systems and the infrastructures. And so right now, I would say out of the 25 million hours that is our aspirational goal, we're probably about a half a million.
And from giving charitable hours to another type of giving, the simple giving of goodwill and kindness. We interviewed two representatives from the website Upworthy who talked about their book, Good People: Stories from the Best of Humanity, which is just what we need right now. This is a remarkable book. This is a book of stories of good things that people have done. And the content, the innovation in here is actually remarkable. For those who aren't familiar with it, let's start with you. Why don't you tell us what this book is about and how you got there?
Well, this book is a collection of true stories about compassion, empathy, connection among real people. These are the stories that, you know, you may not see on the news every night, but are happening all around us and are worth paying attention to.
Lucia?
Yeah, you know, we're here on behalf of a beautiful platform called Upworthy. We reach 100 million people a month across platforms, and we really strive to show stories of decency and compassion and beauty and kindness. This book is a compilation of 101 stories, all from our audience. So they originated in our comments section, which we lovingly refer to as the kindest comment section on the internet. We worked hand in hand with real people, their real stories, to make up six chapters, over 300 pages, and we're just so excited to have it come to life.
So this is the book. It's brightly colored.
Perfect for fun.
It's called Upworthy, Good People. And I understand what you're doing here, because there are people that do things like they're in line in a drive-thru and they'll buy coffee for the person behind them. That's the kind of thing you're talking about, right?
Totally, yes. I mean, we're talking about things big and small. I love what you're saying here about these micro moments. I don't think we should overlook those, right? I think here in LA, seeing someone, you know, let you cut in front of them while you're driving on the freeway, it's an act of kindness inherently. And a study from UCLA came out saying that we're actually hardwired for altruism. I think once you read stories like this, you start to see the good everywhere.
And so why do we need this book right now?
I mean, you need it because you need to believe that there's good in the world. There's so many things out there that remind us that there isn't. And once you start paying attention to the good, you see more of it. And you get a feeling that you can carry with you out into the world that affects how you interact with people and the world around you, making it a better place.
Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we take you to a small oasis in the side of the city of Torrance, tucked away behind a mall and rescued from its fate as a home for oil wells and garbage, the Madrona Marsh. It shows what the power of United Citizens can do. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. It's a beautiful spot to walk or birdwatch. Nature flourishes at the Madrona Marsh year-round, and it's also a spot to recognize history, as Native American relics and dinosaur bones have been found here, too. Let's take you on a tour of this surprising spot.
So this is a stormwater retention basin. All of the water in our city floods into here.
And that's when it rains.
That's when it rains, yes. And we can either keep it here for wildlife, we can pump it out onto the preserve to make the marsh itself wetter, or we can send it straight out to the ocean.
Why is this important? Because it's not always wet here.
Right. So what we're trying to do on the marsh is create as much habitat space as we can. So in years of drought, we're able to take this water and put it on the preserve. That enables the waterfowl, the ducks and the geese, to be able to raise their young to maturity in time before all the water runs away. They need a certain amount of water in order to get their young to adulthood.
And so we're this is not a wet marsh. I mean, this is what's referred to as a vernal marsh.
Yes.
And that means?
That means that it is fed by rainwaters in the spring. Vernal means spring. It's fresh water because it's only rainwater, not ocean water. And it fills up in the winter, in the spring, and by the summer, it's completely dry.
It's so interesting to see something like this, like an oasis, really, in the middle of a place like Torrance, right by a mall.
Yes.
I mean, what's the origin of this? Tell us about it.
So initially, this was oil lands. It was owned by oil and a rail line company. And as the city of Torrance was really developing in the 70s, The city wanted to keep more open space and more natural space available for people. But they knew that as a city, they couldn't just come in and take the land because it was privately owned. There were a lot of citizens who were really concerned that this area was going to get developed in much the way everything else around here is. And so the city and the citizens got together and they formed 501(c)(3), that was organizing in order to protect this marsh.
That's referred to as?
The Friends of Madrona Marsh.
If everyone remembers, we were out in the marsh, we were in the pool where that critter lives.
This is the fairy shrimp that lives in the vernal pools.
And you've got so many of those.
Yes, we do.
But you have a lot of critters, for lack of a better word, right here at this nature center. Let's start right behind this display. Let's go over here. Tell me about this little fella.
This is a western toad. This is something that's common in the marsh and common to this area. It's been extirpated locally, which means it's no longer here, but it is in the general Southern California area. And this little guy is here so that we can help educate the public about.
When you have children come through, school, students, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk about here, we're talking about this nature center. Tell me about that, the purpose of it.
So this was built in the late 90s, construction completed in the early 2000s. It's an 8,000 square foot facility that's right across the street from the preserve. And we have this here so that we can have people come of all ages and learn about their environment, learn about the natural history of the South Bay. We do school tours here, we do college level tours. And it's a great opportunity for folks to interact with live animals, to see exhibit specimens, and to do different programs.
What is it you think is your most dramatic thing here?
Everyone loves our snakes. They love Scooby.
And I have to tell you, I'm not a big snake fan.
You're not? You don't want us to put her around you? Everyone here loves Scooby. They love Nala, our king snake. And especially when we have kids come through, it's often their first opportunity to handle a reptile. And you can see them just glow and light up when they get to touch the skin, when they get to hold it and feel the weight of the creature. And it really brings home for them that the preserve outside is those creatures' homes. And by maintaining it, we're making space for those animals to live.
How you doing? Huh? My name's Hal. Okay. Can't get enough of that place. We'll be back with more Fox 11 News in depth right after this break. Don't go away. And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in Depth. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everyone. But before we go, let's look again at some of the wonders of Madrona Marsh. See you next time, everybody.